You are listening to The Unlabel It Effect. We gather here on the first day of each month to explore all things mental health. Let us be part of your support system to inspire and motivate you to take care of your well-being. We, Vivian, Rita, and myself, Melody, welcome you to our UE community. Our society tends to have a weird obsession with labels. In Season 7, we have different valuable guests on The Unlabeling Effect to share some tips on how to rip off these sticky labels and embrace authenticity and be our true self. We have Janice Ng with us on The Unlabeling Effect today. Janice is a strong believer in mindfulness and the duality of physical and mental health. Through starting her fitness journey at the age of 5 and wrestling with anxiety and depression, she became the founder of Absolute Focus. Abs Focus is a Pilates-inspired workout program where Janice promotes wellness inside and out, including your physical, mental, and emotional health. Janice hopes to transform people's mind and body, tap into one internal self, and bring them to the present moment. Behind all these great achievements and initiatives, how much does one know about her journey in fighting anxiety and depression? And how did certain societal labels affect Janice? We cannot wait to dive into it. I'm your host, Melody, and with me here today are Janice, Rita, and Viv. Welcome!
Hello!
Yay!
Hi, Janice.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, the mic off on the right.
This is a high again.
Yeah. Now it's fine. We'll use this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So how are we doing, Janice?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. This is such a cozy spot, and it's nice to be surrounded by you guys and talk about unlabeling effects.
So I basically reached out to you after doing like a few of your classes actually, because one of my friend Angela told me that, oh, you have to check out this like Ask Focus class. It's really good. It's really intense. And I was like, I love intense kind of stuff, but considering like I haven't really done like a full on workout program for so long, I haven't been consistent. So I was like, okay, going to like, if I can find one good class with a good instructor, I'll want to stick with it. Mm-hmm. And then I went to your class and I followed you on Instagram. I was like, oh, this like Janice has like really positive quotes and posts and like sharings on your story. So I was like, we have to reach out to you. And thank you for being on the Unlabeling Effect.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
Actually did one of Janice's class as well.
It was tough.
It was really tough.
A while back.
Yeah, but then she was so calm. She's like,
yeah, my voice.
She's like, everything is so easy for her.
It's so deceiving. The workout looks easy. The music is so hardcore, but my voice is so soft.
Yeah.
And then I get the same feedback.
I think it's also the music. Like, you actually picked the right song for for all the workouts.
Yeah. To the beat.
Yeah. I realized that I'm quite into instructors that actually would do the whole workout with me.
You, yeah.
A lot of time when they kind of do it halfway and then like don't do it, I realize my motivation is not as good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll get back into it, Janice. You'll see me soon.
Amazing. You'll come back with abs.
But I didn't know it was Pilates
inspired. Yeah.
So it's like the movement or the sliding?
The low impacts, like sculpting movements, and then the use of breath. So Pilates is very focused on how you use your breath, and that also ties into why I wanted to create this method and to help people to bring them to the present moment, and because everything is related to breath.
Yeah.
And so the body works, the workout, the movements.
Yeah,
because mind body.
You founded Absolute Focus.
Yes.
So it's like a wellness brand.
Right. Yes.
It's a wellness brand, and Absolute Focus. It's a program that you created mainly to help people to connect with their body and their mind. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And is there any, like, how do you usually bring the wellness kind of element into your program? Or?
Yeah, I would say how my brand is known in the community is actually through Abs Focus. But then how I started this whole concept or idea, and it wasn't even, I didn't even have the intention to, let me create a personal brand or everything just grew organically.
Yeah.
And then it ties back to why we're here today, which is to talk about mental health the absolute focus concept happened while I was dealing with my mental health issues, which was like 7 years back after having left corporate world and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I was in this space of confusion. I mean, I was in my 20s. I'm sure a lot of us go through that. Soul searching or like having this identity crisis kind of thing. Not sure what we want to do in our lives. But because of that, leaving corporate gave a lot of uncertainty in my life, which actually triggered a lot of these anxious feelings.
So then was your journey when you kind of graduated and then went into the corporate world, did you feel like at that time you didn't know where to go, but that was the way that the society was, okay, you have to go to the corporate world. And then you realized that something was off? And
So it's interesting how one find themselves after going through these struggles, right?
Yeah.
So it always starts with, okay, what we've been told, right? Like the family values or what the society expects us to do, or even like the education system, right?
Yeah.
So growing up, we've always been, I mean, in our household, we focus a lot on academics. So even though I was naturally born with good sports genes, I was still pursuing that. Like since I was five, I did ballet, taekwondo, basically
pretty much
everything.
Like ninja.
Yes. It's a very confusing upbringing. But it works out. It's still martial arts. It's still kind of like body movement. But in terms of like the workout stuff, the sports part of stuff, it was easy for me. It's like a natural instinct. But when it comes to school, academics, I struggled a lot. But a lot of especially in my family or Asian families, I guess. We focus a lot on academics. As I remember in high school, I went to a relatively good, like, academic-driven local school, Papalilias. I remember the second year that I didn't get, like, maybe, like 8 and, like, or my grades dropped from first year. The teacher asked my mom, like, well, what happened to her? Is everything okay back home? And then it could be also, like, a teacher would say, you know, sports is not that important. Grades are more important, you know? So that was the time that I realized that, like in our education system, especially the public local system, we really highly value the good grades, the academics part of stuff. I think this is where the should comes in, right? Like, oh, I should get straight A's. And then I struggled a lot in school and I didn't realize that was a little bit like ADHD that kept me from being able to be really focused. And then it's an interesting thing how ADHD, like the wandering of mind and anxiety somehow ties in. And I recognized that throughout school, I really had trouble focusing and I didn't have the tools to navigate. And then instead I have a lot of negative self-talk. And something like, oh, I'm not smart enough. I need to put in like 3 more hours than everyone else to put in the work to do grades. And that has been like the narrative that I have
for a long time.
For such a long time. And I didn't even realize that was really negative and like imposing a lot of like a negative, like negativity towards my body until I, you know, throughout college, I was like that too.
Yeah.
You know? And then eventually when I left college, right, I have to be very independent. And then in the corporate world, I realized that, wow, I'm still like talking to myself so negatively until a point where anxiety kicks in as well. Because when you start working, there's no one else there, no mentors. You don't have someone to look at your essays.
No.
You're not going to be, you don't dare to ask someone for help either, right?
Yeah.
You want to pretend that, okay, I know
everything is okay.
I graduated from a good school. I got into a good job. I'll pretend everything is okay. So my corporate experience wasn't that bad, I would say. The work environment was great. Like the team is so supportive. The company's culture is more Americanized and very welcoming, actually.
So
very
it's
supportive.
Just the internal struggle.
Exactly. The internal struggle and also the environment. I didn't realize that I wasn't comfortable working in a floor space with like an open floor plan with for teens there, it's around like what, like 14 like times four, it's like 40-50 people, so that was a little bit overwhelming in the beginning. And yeah, so everything just came to this point where I'm like, I cannot deal with this anymore.
What was the symptoms?
So it was quite bad because I was very anxious going into the office every day, that even over the weekend, I felt so mentally drained. I just couldn't leave the house. I was too scared to even meet up my relatives for dinner and their family. We were close. So it was
Was too scared that people would ask, or you just couldn't take any more external pressure?
Yeah, I think that time, like, it's the anxiety and like a self-criticism of thinking, I'm not performing the way that I wanted. I didn't feel comfortable or at ease being myself in a corporate environment, or even I felt very claustrophobic being in an office space. All these things.
And then your family realize, like, during that time, did they even try to like get in touch or try to get closer to you and try to understand, or it was very much like you were really struggling, just like all the voices inside, and people couldn't tell, maybe they could tell, or
because
you can't see it when people are
So this is why it's great that we talk about this, because I believe that in the office, no one really knew. But then at home, of course, like, I'm glad I was living with my parents then, and they knew that I was going through something. And I remember how it has affected everyone around me as well. And my sister, my older sister, reached out to her like doctor friends and said, what should we do in this delicate situation? Like, should we actually approach her, talk to her, or give her space? But then her advice was, just give her space. For me, it's such a like internal journey. It was like a struggle, right? Because when you're in that headspace, you are first very vulnerable. And when you're in that stage of vulnerability, it's so hard for you to open up to people, because that made you feel more exposed and even more so vulnerable, and you don't end up reaching out for help because you're judging yourself and you don't want any other outside pressure that you believe that you'll get that pressure from people. But
how did you stick through that when you had so many like self-talk internally growing up at a very young age, and then up to the point where you're like, no, I'm quitting the corporate job to find myself?
Yeah, that's a great question. Growing up, when you're in it, when you're in an environment or a toxic environment, you don't know what it's like on the other end until you get out of it. So I would say it's really up to a point where it's like a breaking point, right? And then that's where magic happens, actually. Even though you're in it, you won't feel that's your gonna experience something positive, but you really have to go through that dip and find your way out, and that's where the magic happens.
And that's how you then started to look for a way, and then you founded Absolute Focus.
Absolute Focus was actually more of my own inspiration of how I got out of depression. So I fell into depression because of the daily like and anxiety, and then I did PR. I wrote
it crushed many souls.
I just had to say that
because she also was in PR for a bit.
And Mandy, do you know Mandy Pat?
I love her. She actually did my branding. She did my branding. She's sweet. I love her. She's incredible. So the PR agency wasn't that bad. Like, it's American big brands. It's not a toxic environment for me when I was there. Right? So it's just my own.
Janice, I was just wondering, when can you tell whether I should be more resilient and, you know, kind of do more and push myself further versus this is it? Like, it is like taking a toll on my mental health and I have to step out of this. Like, how do you know which path to go down between these two?
I feel like for you, it wasn't the job. So it's even more complicating than a lot of people where if it's the problem, if the problem stemmed from the job, you'd be like, okay, I can just quit. But for you, it was not the job.
Yeah, that's true. So that's a good question, because this is the question that actually is more relevant to me now than before when I was really struggling, because that was the point where I didn't even have a plan B. And I remember during lunchtime, I was just looking out of the building. It felt like I'm in a box already. I was like, shit, how did I get out of this? You know, I'm like, but it's too early on. It's just my first year. And then I secured the dream job that I wanted. And it was really hard to accept. At the same time, physically and mentally, I just thought, this is not right. Is this a place where I should learn how to grow up, right? Like grow up, toughen up and push through it. But at the same time, I know that growing up, I have been tough. And it's been demonstrated how hard I worked for, like, for school, and then how I ended up getting into UCLA, which is not easy to get in. And so looking back, I know that, okay, this is not me, but this is something, there's something wrong. That's something off that I don't think I should push it.
Your intuition kicked in.
And it's also like, how can I live like this every day? I cannot believe that, like, I cannot imagine going through months and months of feeling like that, that feeling of feeling trapped or feeling like I'm not reaching my potential. Or, you know, or staying in the weekend and too afraid to meet anyone. You know, I feel so socially drained. So
and I then decided that left. You then guide yourself through that?
After that, really no plans. And then this is how I got here. which is the beauty of it all. And it's scary. And I, now looking back, I realize this is what actually an entrepreneurial journey is like. I don't think anyone can actually plan a spiritual path. Anyone can actually plan, like, okay, I'm gonna create this company, gonna inspire everyone, but where does it come from, right? If it comes from a fun, authentic and genuine space, you have to go through, like, struggles, you have to go through something, you have a problem that you need to solve, right? And then that's actually the beauty of entrepreneurship, that you find a problem, you want to offer a solution and share it with the world. And this is what you're doing too, like enabling stuff.
Because I feel like for people who actually struggle with depression and anxiety, like my mother, she's been struggling with it for over like 25 years. And I think for some people like my mother, she's still unable to really address it. And I think I would love to hear more and hopefully can influence more people when they are in that struggle, right? Like, were there hacks or how did you manage that in order for you to really try to get out of it? Because obviously everyone's journey is continuing and you can't really put a hard stop to it because you feel differently every day and you have different experiences every day. So, you know, like, how did you deal with it and then really get to where you are right now?
That is true. So I want to say, like, with the healing journey. I've heard a lot of podcasts or a lot of, like, interviews, and I think that still as an audience, on the audience end, it's easy for us to listen and approach the story, the interview, as, oh yeah, that person is perfect, you know? But the idea of healing is it's an ongoing process. You cannot be perfect, and sometimes we fall into depression is because we have an expectation of our best self. So that's where the duality kicks in, because if we don't have a best version of ourselves in mind, then why would we be upset? Like, what are you upset about, right? So it's interesting if you think it that way. Like, we all have emotions, and why are we having this grandiose idea towards happiness but not embracing the darker side? Because the darker side gives you answers or questions or triggers that
triggers. I think for us,
we triggers always, to look into it and see what's happening, and then you try to balance it.
But for you, do you always go for the fitness kind of like physical way or method to de-stress first, and then look into the emotional side of things, or how does it work? What's your mechanism?
So when I was in that state of depression when I was around, like, in the corporate world.
Yeah.
At that point, it's as if, like, I have been active throughout my life, right? Yeah. And I know what are the things that are going to make me happy, but yeah. I just couldn't find my way to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Because I was very consumed with the negative thoughts. I was just hijacked by the negativity, right? Imagine your body is flooded by this negative waves of thoughts and emotions. You're just trying to survive. Yes. It's like you're trying to swim, or I don't even know how to swim, but how am I going to survive this? It's kind of that feeling. Mm. So,
like fight or flight.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So I would say, like, how I got out of it was I was just trying to survive, and then I just Googled who are the best psychologists and psychiatrists in Hong Kong. It's actually, honestly, this topic needs to be heavily addressed because when you're in the state of depression, or whoever is listening right now and don't know who to reach out to, Googling is actually the worst place to start. No, I think now with technology advancement, it's so much better.
Yeah.
Back in the day, really, you know, ads pop up, right? So it's actually so unethical. Like, how can a doctor self-promote themselves, right? Yeah. Self-promote their service. But then I was like, oh, I can't be bothered. I'm too tired of life. Whatever shows up, I'll just click on it. Yes, I just need an immediate relief and tell me what is wrong with me, you know? So that was the start of my own journey.
Yeah.
But I'm so happy now. Like, I, over the 10 years, I see the evolvement in Hong Kong, where we talk more about mental health. And, like, Mind Hong Kong, like, they just offer services or point you to the right direction.
Yeah.
Or even now, how I created the brand Absolute Focus, because how I got out of it, I realized that happiness is in the present moment, right? And that's also my own reminder, and my reminder to others when things don't go the way you want, or you're going through something, you're reminded that, okay, be absolute focus.
Yes. Right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. That's how you pick the name.
Yeah. So this
like
is
absolute
how.
Absolute now.
Yeah, absolute focus.
Yeah,
focus on the present.
I'll tell you, I was very focused in your class because it was too tough.
I'm glad it's so translated.
It's really
good.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the top classes I've done.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah, so because we were actually, before this recording, we were talking to Rita about when you said what did you say just now that reminded me of our conversation, Rita, just now, about, like, sometimes you feel like the expectation.
The ideal self.
Yeah, the ideal self is so, like, unreachable. And then you feel like, I'm working so hard, but then I'm not fully there yet. And you feel like you're in a box. Mm-hmm. And just now you mentioned, and I was like, actually, so many people, even, like, I can resonate with that. Because sometimes when I'm in a routine, I feel like I'm just working hard because this is the way that I was brought up.
Yes.
You know, but at the same time, now, because of UE, because of all the guests that we've met, we're like, actually, to live, like, fully and live present, in the present, we have to do something to get out of that box. But that box could be a mindset. Mm-hmm. That box is the box that we put ourselves into.
Yes.
And then it's like, how can you break through that? And it's always hard for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I think what Jim Carrey said or something, because he suffered from depression for a very long, or still, like, fighting through. I think he's mentioned something along the line, depression is your body saying, fuck no, like, I'm not playing this character, I'm not doing it anymore. And that's why you immediately go numb, like, on emotions, you don't have energy, you just want to stay home. Mm-hmm. And, like, when Mel mentioned about, like, the ideal self, I sometimes would reflect on whether that ideal self, like, I said it wrong, like, that ideal self is, maybe it's me not being authentic, that's why I don't want to do it, or I have so much pressure on doing it. So I would say, for me, like, the past experience is that, oh, this is maybe not what I really want to do, or maybe that goal doesn't really align with what I believe in, like, day to day. Because I went through also, like, a period of dark times, and then I actually
Googled.
Yeah, right?
The internet is great, actually.
It's the first reaction. Yeah. You're like, I want to be informed.
Yes.
And then I started, it was in 2021 when COVID like mainly hit. Yeah. And then I remember there's this triangle. I was studying on like, what is self-esteem? What is confidence? Mm. What is, you know, what is core beliefs? Like, what are my core beliefs? Let's revisit that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like previously, I thought core beliefs was like, integrity, kindness, or those are like solid examples, right? But then what I learned was that core beliefs is actually, what do you think your main part of life should be? Is it spirituality? Is it growth? Is it friendship? Is it family? Is it money? Is it career? Like, actually, those are core beliefs, and those shape what you do every day.
Mm-hmm.
So like what Rita likes to say, like, she time blocks everything, right?
Yes.
So it's like a chunk of time would be like her career, and then I start to really restructure my whole lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm more like, so now I'm really strict. I like, I still work for corporates. It's like but I have a hard stop, like,
yeah,
after 6 or on the weekend. I absolutely, that's my hard boundary,
that
because you have past that.
But then you have your own side hustle, you're trying to start,
yeah,
something,
mm-hmm,
that's,
yeah,
also
you're following
related.
Your passion,
yeah,
gives,
exactly,
you a purpose,
exactly,
yeah.
So that was like my entire reflective, mm, thing. So tying back to,
yeah,
what you said about ideal self,
mm,
so like it'd be helpful to revisit that idea,
mm,
I think, like, why is that ideal self your idea?
Right. I,
yeah,
think so. Like, do you, after changing your, I guess, routine,
yeah,
or your complete like lifestyle,
quit, yeah,
do you have more like a different way to see life now, and how do you structure your,
yeah,
your life? It's because it's completely different. You don't have a 9-to-5,
exactly.
And what is your,
yeah,
what motivates you now?
It's insane. Yeah. So I've been building my own brand,
mm-hmm,
and I'm still affiliated with the studio, so,
mm-hmm,
it's not like I'm completely like self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the changes, I realized that it's just like tapping into who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
I realize I'm a very organized person,
mm-hmm,
but then it is very hard for me to adjust stepping into the world where you create your own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
How do you frame your time?
Yeah.
What are your boundaries, or how much I can take, how much work I can take,
yeah,
in a day? Or sometimes I remember in the beginning of this journey,
mm,
I went to the movies at 3 p.m., which is actually,
oh my God,
a great thing.
I wish I could. I've never done
it. But then I remember.
It's so cool.
I know.
I'm in the middle,
yes,
of the day.
But then that was the transition from corporate to this this very flexible schedule.
Yeah.
In my 20s, everyone else is working so hard,
yeah,
they're striving, going through hardships,
yeah,
in the office, and I am
just
in the
cinema.
Yeah. It took a while for me to acknowledge and recognize that, yes, I'm still working a lot,
yeah,
and I still work over the weekends,
and you're,
and then
lucky.
There's actually no comparison,
yeah,
to why am I comparing my own schedule with others.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, sometimes comparison helps because it gives you kind of like a sense or a framework of how you can place yourself,
mm-hmm,
in the society,
yeah,
which is helpful, and also some kind of self-motivation.
And I think,
yeah,
actually in a lot of people's eyes, like my eyes, having that lifestyle would be the dream lifestyle. Like,
yeah,
to be able to structure my schedule with full control,
mm-hmm,
like not needing to stick with the 9-to-5.
Right.
And I think because you're one of those really rare ones that can actually have this lifestyle,
yeah,
it could be uncomfortable because,
mm-hmm,
there are probably like in 100 people, probably only 10 of you could have that lifestyle.
Right.
So I can also imagine being in that, like being in your position, it would take a while to adjust because most people wouldn't have that lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah.
So answering your question, how I reschedule my,
yeah,
lifestyle, right,
yeah,
is really getting used to being comfortable,
mm,
with what works for me.
Yeah.
And also tapping into like, oh, I need to know what my core beliefs are,
mm,
or,
yeah,
what is, like, I have to be very intentional with my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what I have learned so,
mm,
far, is that I need to be very sure who I am mm-hmm. and what I stand for, yeah. and especially what is good for a business and how much I want to make. You know, yeah. these are all very big questions you need True. To ask yourself. Otherwise, if you don't go through this internal journey, mm-hmm. you're going to be distracted a lot of times, yeah. right? Especially mm-hmm. if you're in a entrepreneurial journey
yeah.
where you are the one who lead your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start comparing yourself, it's so hard for you to stay focused.
Yeah.
Or even it's hard for you to accept what is actually good enough. Yeah. You know? So it goes back to answering the question how to yeah. push myself mm. or when to push or when not to push
and
myself.
You require a lot of discipline. You know? Like yes. being
Yeah.
Because it can go either way. If you have all the time, like yeah. you know, you can be so flexible. You can just go to the cinema every day.
That's what's cute.
You can really, yes. you know, focus and, you know, split your day into doing some productive tasks. But you mentioned that you actually realized that you have a bit of ADHD.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
How did you find out? And
how did I find out? So while I was looking into my mental health, mm-hmm. right? So I Googled. And then I discovered this psychologist and this psychiatrist. I was very desperate, so I signed up for both.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that, well, I should have done more research, but mm-hmm. I was just mentally fatigued. I couldn't be bothered yeah. to research more. Whatever is available, yeah. which was psychiatrist, which was the most expensive ever.
Yeah.
And also what they do is they prescribe you drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the ADHD part was throughout these like different appointments,
mm.
I ended up getting an attention test
mm.
to test out ADHD.
Mm.
But unfortunately, I failed, which I was actually very unhappy that I failed, which means I don't actually clinically have ADHD.
Mm.
But it felt like I'm always so distracted. What is wrong with me? And mm. nothing can give me a solution to it.
Mm.
But
and you wish yeah. that was the answer. You wish,
yeah,
you
wish there was an answer, right? But it's interesting if you think about it this way, that when you want an answer, that means you want the control in life.
Yes.
And in life, you cannot control anything. It's not life mm-hmm. otherwise.
Oh, that is deep.
All of a sudden, it's very deep.
Wait a second. When you want an answer, it means you want control.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. you feel like you're out of control. Otherwise, why would you go to a fortune teller? Why would you want to you know, look for horoscope stuff? Or you know, he wants an answer.
You want the answer.
You want certainty.
You want certainty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, and it goes back to like the entrepreneur journey
mm-hmm.
or even like our personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
If you learn about life, you know that you cannot control it. Mm-hmm.
And I think
yeah.
the main chunk of an entrepreneurial journey is that it will never be the same. There's mm-hmm. no one day that will be the same,
right.
you know, and every day you will face a different challenge, and you are the person who will guide and you know, drive the ship somewhere. So it is a very challenging,
but I'm interested, Janice, like you said that once you quit, you started like absolute focus immediately. You knew that like
that was something you wanted.
This is something that you want to do like full time.
So I went through a phase of working for Lululemon actually.
Oh.
So I really thankful that I went through that phase.
Mm.
So after leaving like the corporate job,
mm.
I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, mm. and then I looked up Google as a best, by the way. I looked up yoga
GPT
class.
GPT is still competing. Like, it hasn't taken over yet.
Yeah, free yoga class. And then Lululemon showed up. And back then, there weren't any stores. There was only a showroom.
Oh.
And I was surprised that there was a Lululemon showroom in Hong Kong. So I just went there.
Mm-hmm.
And after the community yoga class, the store manager asked, hey, do you want to work for us part-time? Mm-hmm. And I was like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started with them. And it was such a great training ground as well, because mm-hmm. I learned what it's like to be an educator or
mm-hmm.
learned about sales
mm-hmm.
or even getting into the fitness
yes.
and wellness community, which
mm-hmm.
was huge
mm-hmm.
for me. and which led me to creating my own thing.
Yeah.
Because they're huge on setting like vision and goals. And that was my first time actually going through something like a personal growth training. Mm-hmm. And that was really helpful. And it actually inspired me to create something of my own. And I followed that path, and it comes in full circle. Essentially, I'm still pretty close with the Lululemon family.
I feel like they've done such a good job with just training. Creating that community.
Yeah.
But then you also mentioned earlier about the retreat.
Yes.
You mentioned a retreat and a meditation program or a method.
Vipassana.
Vipassana.
Vipassana. What's that?
So in Pali, like Indian, ancient Indian language, it means insight. So Vipassana means insights. And so I brought up Vipassana because after dealing with trying out antidepressants and going through like a lot of therapy sessions, I felt motivated. I wasn't as depressed anymore. I felt like there was a motivation and drive in my life. But at the same time, I still had that strong internal dialogue at the back of my mind, which was, I feel powerless because I feel like I need to rely on drugs.
It did. How long were you on it for?
On it only for less than half a year.
So you started seeing a psychologist, but also working with a psychiatrist at the same time? And then
yes. So they gave me SSRI, which is to balance your serotonin level. That really helped. And during that time, I also exercised. So it was like a huge boost of
just like new person.
Yes. But looking back after like going to meditation and then reforming my way of happiness in the purest form without drugs, looking back at the comparison, I would say I'd rather be my happiness now than then, because that felt still quite synthetic. So but yes, it helped, because I mean it's still chemicals, right? It's like your neurotransmitters, the chemical changes. There are certain people that I know, I'm sure they need that boost, that kick. But the thing is, how can you make it a sustainable lifestyle? Right? And I think it's good that, because I didn't tell my parents. I literally just, you know how the junior grade pay grade for a PR is so low. I couldn't afford like medication, and then insurance usually don't take care of mental health, these prescribed drugs, right? So I ended up just quitting, unfortunately, which is not recommended, by the way. You should consult your doctor. But but so I was like, oh dear, what should I do? And then I went through a dip again, even though I left my proper job.
Also on the drug, it was a sharp cut, right?
Yeah, it wasn't ideal. And I don't know why, like, I always do stupid stuff. And then I decided, like, okay, I believe in my willpower. And then I just decided to withdraw from the drugs. And I think I did have a dip. Wasn't too bad, because I changed my work environment. And Lululemon is such a positive workplace. But still, I went through my mood problems, because I haven't really targeted my root cause of where these anxiety issues come from. And so at one point in my life, well, 2016, I looked up, I Googled again. I honestly, Google saved me a lot of times. Googled again. And I Googled silent retreats, Hong Kong.
Oh, it's in Hong Kong.
Yes. It was.
Is it
the Lantau? Now it's on Lantau Island. Yes. Before, the first one is in Shangshui.
Oh.
And I was glad that I couldn't give like any more effort to look into what I was going to do. And I didn't even know how scary it's basically, it looks like a prison. So I went there. I was like, oh shit, did I sign up for this?
Can I get a job out now?
It literally, you walk in, it's like a green metal, really rusty gate.
Oh, no.
And then it looks like a prison.
Was it
literally
expensive?
It's for free.
Oh, okay. I can tell when it's for free, but it's really hard to get a spot.
Yes. So I actually, ever since I did my Vipassana and how it has changed my life and a new perspective towards healing.
Yeah.
And I believe in using my own willpower to heal from within and using breath and being present, being body aware. And because of that, I wanted to attribute it to my mental health and my business. So I do it every year. So I've been to the Lantau one and it's so much better. It's so much better.
And you do it every year. It's like a ritual for you.
Yes. So I skipped like the COVID once, right? But so I've done four of them already. Yeah.
I would love to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's quite tough, right? It's 10 days of just being silent.
10 days. No interaction with, like, you know, outside. Like, there's no, you cannot use digital device. You cannot journal. You cannot read.
You can't journal.
No, I know. This is the first thing that I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I'm so attached to my
writing.
So
until that point. What do you do every day?
It's just that I meditate.
There must have been a lot of thoughts, a lot of voices.
Was there, like, a guide? Or you just sit there in silence, like nobody's talking to you now?
So Vipassana is available globally. So it is an institution and it's nonprofit institution that actually they have a recorded recording. So the recording is the same throughout, like, globally. And in Hong Kong there's like translation of Chinese, of course, and then the original track in English. So the teacher is called Gian Goenka. And he is the one who guides you through the whole 10 days. So it is guided, but then when you practice the meditation itself, it is silence, complete silence. You just focus on your breath and you just sit with your whatever comes out, feelings. Yeah.
So how did you feel once you're out of that silence?
Every year is different, but I would say the first time was just mind-blowing because imagine I was there when I was 24. Yes, I was 24, and imagine, like, all of a sudden you cut out communication, you cut out the sensory, it's like a sensory deprivation thing, right? You cannot talk, and then you just pay attention to your breath. And imagine, like, such a, because you're constantly interacting with the world for me, that's been 24 years.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's, like, all gone.
Yeah.
So it does give you, like, a boost of certain things that you learn, right? Like, being more in touch with yourself. Or when I got out of it, I recognized my superpower. Superpower. As in, I realized that, oh, I sense people's movements a lot better. It's very interesting. Like, I think everyone would have a point when they interact with the real world again. There are certain things that you recognize that, oh, I actually am more attuned to certain things, right? So yeah, I realized that movement speed is kind of like my superpower in a way. And it makes sense because I'm a fitness and I do with movements a lot.
Clarity.
Yeah.
It's interesting because for me, it's colors.
That's
I went
cool.
for a 4-day and then I just see colors so vividly. I was like, whoa, it's almost like getting new glasses.
That's amazing, right? That feeling where you have that sensory enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, but mine was...
If Janice...
Yes.
Yeah, if Janice, if you have to incorporate the learning from this retreat to modern life, for example, like not everyone could have like 10 days off to go to a retreat like that, what would you recommend? Like, do we put time aside at night? Like, how does that look like if we want to incorporate it to daily life for people who work like 9 to 5?
Meditation. I would still go back to meditation. And meditation is, it can be... as secular, you know, so no religious beliefs behind it. Meditation is simply just focusing on your breath and being present.
Breath
work. I noticed that breath work works a lot as well. Because sometimes it's hard for people to get into meditation because where to start? They always think that, oh, I cannot sit still for even like 30 seconds or a minute. It's very highly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So breath work is actually a good first step, I would say, because you manipulate your breath and there's always like a track that you can follow and then you just focus on the breath.
Yeah. You mentioned you can't journal. So where did your thoughts go?
I know, right? It's very interesting. The reason why they forbid you from writing, because if you think about it, writing is still a form of attachment of the past. And so the meditation, the idea is living moment by moment, right?
Okay.
If you write it down, it's already past.
Oh my god. For me, like, I'm desperate to release thoughts, ideas, because I feel like my brain just, it doesn't have enough capacity to store all the things that's going through.
Yeah.
So I have to write it out.
That's so true. Journaling is a way to vent as well, right? Yeah. Like to write out your what's happening in your on your mind.
But I gain clarity by writing things out.
Yeah.
Because you can then see the bullet point. You can see the you can see the process.
Yeah.
But maybe it's also a crutch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you over rely on, because I remembered, like during that retreat, I was known as the journal girl.
Because I wrote so much.
Yeah, in the morning, when we can't talk until like 11 a.m. So during breakfast, everyone is in silence, and then I just kept writing and writing. And then like four pages back to back, just gone. And then it brought me a lot of peace, but then it also gave me a little bit of anxiety because I'm also like very anxious. If I don't remember every detail, if I don't jot it down, I would be like, oh no, something's missing.
Mm.
Like, oh, I didn't document enough or that, oh, I will forget this detail and I don't want to. So I was hanging on to that a lot as well because I was feeling so much.
So that goes back to what you said is the attachment.
Yeah, that's so definitely.
They were trying to train or provide a space where you are not meant to have attachments,
right?
Anything or?
Yes, one of the things that I learned the most from Vipassana is the concept of really sitting in silence is that because concerned feelings, emotions will come up and you need to pay attention to what is causing that pain or if you feel resistance or you crave for example, like, oh, I need to write down my thoughts because that is a form of craving. And basically finding equanimity is to be balanced. And being balanced is you don't have the resistance or craving feeling. So this is what you practice every day in the meditation. And the meditation is difficult in a very mental and physical way because you have to have your legs crossed for an hour without moving.
The numbness.
And you have to go through calmness throughout the pain. And how do you do that? Like, you know, this is like a practice every day, but it gives you a lot of insight. And that also leads to resilience, right? You understand what resilience actually means. Because there are times that you will be like, no, my legs are really dumb. It feels like they're really numb. And it feels like it's got to be chopped off at one point. Can I just move? Like, what is this stupid thing that I have to sit through, you know? And you realize that everyone else, not comparing, but everyone else also dealing with their internal struggling, but everyone on the outside looks like, you know, looks like
gone through that.
Looks so calm and be like, how am I the one struggling?
No, they're
but
not.
Everyone's also struggling. But it is where you still be like, okay, let me commit to this. It is quite extreme. It's a very traditional, it's very hardcore practice. But I do like the challenge involved. Not see it as like, okay, I have to do a 10-day, like as a challenge, but it's more like the difficulty of it and how you navigate your way through the challenges is like a important life lesson.
So would you say after that experience, you really gained clarity on your superpower?
Yeah.
And then you realize that you can kind of, you have the power to also heal yourself from your depression and anxiety. Because
yes, I would say the most significant change is that, of course, my issues won't miraculously go away. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was working at a fitness studio then. It was my first fitness job after leaving Lululemon. And after Vipassana, going back to teaching, because I still have the struggles, like self-doubt. I was like, I worked so hard, gone to good school, and now I'm a trainer. Like, what am I doing? You know, like, this is like a very self-critical thought. But then after Vipassana, I was like, okay, let me just focus on the moment, focus on every hour and make the best of it. And that's how I roll for the whole 3 months. And then my class has gotten better because I'm more focused, I'm more present with my clients, and I want to serve them like with my whole capacity, right? And people notice, right? People do have that exchange of energy or feel it, like in your routine or how much energy or effort you put in. And it gives you the positive result, right? And then I remember the studio owner went to my class, was like, how come the class are full? Like, what happened all of a sudden? What has changed?
Now it's the breath work because you practice so much of it. So you can work out with us the whole class without running out of breath.
I would say
the lung capacity.
I would say one tip for people who are in a very stressful corporate environment is that, because we all have like presentations at one point, right? Like teaching is also public speaking. How do you stay calm is when I taught my first class and I was really anxious, I just feel my feet on the ground. I just need to be able to feel my feet on the ground, whatever sensation that is. Once I feel it, then I start teaching. Because all of the time when we're in a rush or when we're anxious, everything is like so up in our head or anxiety, that feeling, bubbly feeling. And you actually lose touch of the ground. And then just bring your senses to your feet actually is very grounding.
Sitting in silence would be so hard for me because now you talk about it, I reflected on my day-to-day habits. I actually never have a moment of silence. Like whenever I'm alone or on a bus ride commuting or just chilling at home, I would play some music, play a podcast, always have some sound to occupy my mind and those blank of the day. I never really sit in silence. And that is, yeah, that is something that I would love to try out. I think maybe that is why I always bottle up my emotion because I never really process them.
We always describe Rita as the person that would delay her emotion.
She's processing.
She's so when she's like at that stage, we know that she's delaying and processing. Usually it takes like two days.
That's good. At least you guys,
at least you're processing, Rita.
That's good. But Jenna,
Sorry, I have a question. So what would you do now if you are like on crossroads and you need to decide something, but you don't know how to, you don't know the answer yet. So you talked about like, oh, I'm not going to try to control it. So what do you do when you?
So when you don't have an answer for things, it is a given. I feel like we just always expect that everyone has the answers. And if you think about it, even your boss don't have all the answers. Like, he's not God. Like, no one has all the answers. But then because of the structure of life or how you get work done, you cannot show that, oh, I don't know. You know, like, you need, someone needs to be the person and make the decision, right? So, of course, like, there are times that you don't have an answer for things. But how I navigate it is to really just show up for work, you know, like for example, if there are certain, like for, if I have a plan for something in 6 months, right? Of course there is self-doubt. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it, but that will be like a goal that keeps me focused and you will find ways to reach there, right? You don't have a certainty, like 100% certainty, like in life, but you just show up, right? Like I learned that from teaching is that, because basically what I teach is systemized and I just show up every day and I realize that I'm teaching pretty much the same thing. but then I always get a new learning. So I think it's the art of really showing up to your routine, and you always find your answers at the end. Yeah,
trust that the answers will come.
It will come, because every moment is different. Basically, it's just a very delusional that we feel that, oh, every day is the same in a way. The routine is the same, but actually everything is constant. Even though if you do everything, even every day you drink water, it's going to be different. Maybe one day you break the glass or one day the water just has like,
this. I think last week, I don't remember which of my friends reminded me of this, is it really triggered me to think of the presence again, because she was like, even though every day you have a structure or you have a routine, but the combination.
It's me.
Friend.
You reminded me friend. That combination of everything will only happen once. So like me drinking this water, but then having you two here, and then at this time with this perfect amount of sun coming through the window, it will only happen once. It's like, you reminded me of how beautiful each moment.
I remembered I had a really bad day at work, and then I always take the tram home, and then I would walk up the escalators, and then I was just looking at people's faces, and then because for a very long time we couldn't, so I was just staring at people's faces, and then in my head suddenly I had this thought, like, I will never see this person again. It's like so sad, but like so beautiful at the same time. And then I was like, wow, like this heat, the sweat behind my
everything.
It was just like I was so present then. I think it was shortly after the retreat. So it was everybody should go to a retreat.
That's amazing.
Time to time.
There's
this motto that you mentioned, I think it's like part of your brand, Absolute Focus, is don't let your mind be your worst enemy.
So I wrote that up. I remember I wrote that up for my bio as a trainer, because in the trainer page, you always have to put in inspiring quotes. And I thought, okay, that would summarize how I felt during that time. And then I still kept it till now. So it's basically just what I shared about my personal, like, mental health journey. And we will find a way to survive, right? We're humans, we're smart, we'll find a way to survive. And it's how we actually work on our internal dialogue, right? Because a huge example that I felt this shift of thinking vividly is when I started teaching, right? Like before Vipassana and after Vipassana, my approach to teaching is different, because I was like, okay, I'm present, I'm here, I'm going to give it my all and share it with others. And it's more about focusing on others than myself, and it actually helps. And then also with the mindset that I'm going to make the most out of it, right? Instead of why am I here? So I think the internal dialogue is so powerful, because it gives you a different motivation, right? And it changes your behavior. And so the change of thoughts changes your behavior, and then it changes your output, right? So that's why I said, like, conquer your mind.
I guess it's like before we go to work, instead of saying, oh, it's another day of work, it should be, it's gonna be a great day at work, you know?
It's like an ideal world.
Okay, before I wrap up, there's always this one question that we ask our guests. If there's one thing for you to unlabel, and what would it be?
Unlabeling the stigma around mental health, because everyone has gone through things. It's just a spectrum of how severe it is, and we're all constantly healing and finding ways. So I think even when someone pisses you off, you're gonna be like open-hearted, and then be compassionate, to be empathetic, because you never know what they've been through. Even though how hard the situation is, right? Just maybe give people space, like they're dealing with their struggles, and everyone's going through certain things, but just remember to be kind to others.
Yeah.
Because your own struggles, yes.
No matter how calm they look.
Yeah, or sometimes our struggles just get the most out of it and it's hard for us to be nice. But of course, like, yeah, deep down, like, be nice to others, like, be kind to others.
We actually now have this little habit that we have in our, like, group that will remind each other to be nice and be kind.
Yeah.
Because you just never know, like, what other people are going through. They might have a really shitty day.
Yeah.
And then if you can just be nice to them by opening the door for them, that would make their day.
Yeah.
You just never know.
It's like a huge interruption of their internal dialogue or whatever they're going through.
If our audience would love to connect with you or like with join the Absolute Focus community, like how can they do that? And
yes, so you can find me on Jenny Beans on my Instagram, JANYBANS, Jean Jenny Beans, or absolute.focus, which is the work one, and then subscribe to my newsletter at absolute.com. There will be online workouts there, and I will be launching more online content soon.
Nice.
That's all for today's episode of I'm Not My Limited Self-Beliefs, featuring Janice Ng. Join us again next time when we invite more valuable guests and rip off more labels.
Thank you, Janice.
Amazing, awesome.
Thank you.
I like the conversation.
Thank you.
That was so beautiful.
Hi.
We need a selfie.
I know, we do. We do need a selfie.
We call Lisa.